श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ ललित देव विशाख देवी की जय। श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बालदेव सुभद्रमरानी की जय। श्री श्री गौरनिताय की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिभ्रांतिकाचार्य सत्र सत्री श्रीमद ऐसी भक्ति वृंद स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री जय रघुराज सरस्वती गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवद्वीप धाम की जय। गंगमाई की जय। यमुनमाई की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी महारानी की जय। सामवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। ओ ग्लोरी श्री सिमदवरिस। ओ ग्लोरी श्री सिमदवरिस। ओ ग्लोरी श्री सिमदवरिस। Thank you very much. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Stai Bodhle. Shrimade Javaraka Swamintra Namane Namacharya Padaya Nitikrupanane. Gokata Adam Narka Kamtane. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Stai Bodhle. Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamintra Namane. Namaste Sarasatreva Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishe Shunyari Pashtade Stane. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, chapter number 10, The Opulence of the Absolute, text number 36 already. So please repeat, we'll read from the word for word first and then we'll go into the verse, because with Sanskrit They kind of glue the words together. It's kind of sound vibration. So in order to really get it, you need to know which words are there. Because if you just read the Sanskrit, you, at least if you're untrained, and even if you're trained sometimes, then you don't really know what the words are. Like here, for instance, you have Tejaha, means fire or splendor here translated. And that they put it together with this... that is some other word. Tejasvinam. Well, it's kind of the same. You see that they put it... But sometimes they put these two words together. And then you don't know which one is which. So we'll just read that, and then we'll read the full verse. So please repeat. Jutam chalayatam asmi tejaha tejasvinam aham jayaha asmi yavasayaha Asmi Sattvam Sattvavatam Aham Jutang Chalayatam Asmi Tejas Tejasvinam Aham Jayosmi Vyavasayosmi Sattvam Sattvatam Aham Jutang chalayatam asmi Tejas tejas vinam aham Jayosmi vyavasayosmi Satvang satvavatam aham Jutang chalayatam asmi Tejas tejas vinam aham Jayosmi vyavasayosmi Sadvang sadvavatam aham Jutang chalayatam asmi Tejas tejas vinam aham Jayosmi vyavasayosmi Sadvam sadvavatam aham Jyutang chalayatam asmi Tejas tejas vinam aham Jayosmi Vyavasayosmi Sadvang Sadvavatamaham Jyutam Chalayatam Asmi Tejas Tejas Vinamaham Jayosmi Vyavasayosmi Sadvang Sadvavatamaham. Please repeat. Jyutam, gambling. Chalayatam, of all cheats. Asmi, I am. Tejaha, the splendor. Tejasvinam, of everything splendid. Aham, I am. Jayaha, victory. Asmi, I am. Vyavasayaha, enterprise or adventure. Asmi, I am. Sattvam, the strength. Sattvavatam, of the strong. Aham, I am. Krishna says, I am also the gambling of cheats, and of the splendid, I am the splendor. I am victory, I am adventure, and I am the strength of the strong. Purport. There are many kinds of cheaters all over the universe. Of all cheating processes, gambling stands supreme and therefore represents Krishna. As the supreme, Krishna can be more deceitful than any mere man. If Krishna chooses to deceive a person, no one can surpass him in his deceit. His greatness is not simply one-sided, it is all-sided. Among the victorious, he is victory. Jai. Mornitai? Lalita. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lalita. She is very kind. So next paragraph, I'll read it again. Among the victorious, he is victory. He is the splendor of the splendid. Among the enterprising and industrious, he is the most enterprising, the most industrious. Among adventurous, he is the most adventurous. And among the strong, he is the strongest. When Krishna was present on earth, no one could surpass him in strength. Even in his childhood, he lifted Govardhan Hill. Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. No one can surpass him in cheating. No one can surpass him in splendor. No one can surpass him in victory. No one can surpass him in enterprise. And no one can surpass him in strength. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Svayang Rupa Kadamayang Dadati Svapadantikang Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupang Sagrajatang Sagana Raganatang Vitang Tang Sajivang Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devang Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataruvyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Jutam chalaya tam asmi tejas tejas vinam aham jayosmi vyavasayosmi satvang satvavatam aham. Satvam Satvavatam Aham. I am the strength of the strong. So it's a very funny verse, I think. And you can see, at least that is my understanding, my realization, from reading the purport, that Prabhupada also gets into it, and he really drives it down. Especially at the end of the purport, Prabhupada, well, first of all, he gets a, in my understanding, a little philosophical. He said, even in his childhood, Krishna lived at Govardhan Hill. So Prabhupada drives down the point what Krishna says. He says, Janma karma same divyam evam yoveti tatvataha. That you should know in truth that my janma and my karma is divyam, transcendental. So Prabhupada explains, even if Krishna is a very small child, he is still God. And this festival is coming up pretty soon. It's always in the month of Damodar, no? It's one of the sweetest festivals in the whole year, because all the devotees, usually, I don't know how they celebrate it here exactly, but usually everybody always goes like, you know, like we are here, we have two tulsis, you know, and the ladies go there and the men go. But generally with Govardhan, everybody goes around Govardhan, and it's a very intimate, very fun, loving festival. And it's the favorite festival of the Brijbasis. I once, all the devotees, we were doing some seminar, like in the, I think, in the 90s, more or less. We had all these seminars, all these. Now you have retreats. In my days, you used to have seminars, because everybody needed to be kind of, I don't want to say educated, it was more like inspirational, you know, and there were kind of seminars and workshops. And there was one here with Lokanath Maharaj. So he was asking all the devotees, what is your favorite pastime? You know, and I really thought about it. I was a very new devotee. And this is one, the one that came to mind. And he said, oh, that's very special, because that is also the favorite pastimes of the Brijbasis. And he explained why it is the favorite pastime of the Brijbasis. Because they get to see Krishna for 7 days and seven nights without stop. You know, they can just look at him. And the only stop, what the gopis are saying, is that they have to blink their eyes once in a while. But other than that, they were just looking at Krishna for 7 days in a row. So this is the favorite pastimes of all the Brijbasis. Finally, they can just look at Gopal for so long. And so that is kind of the philosophical thing, that even though Krishna is a little child with his left pinky, he lifts up this huge hill to stop Indra from destroying and killing all the Brijbasis. And then Prabhupada, he kind of get into the, for me, the mood of the verse of Krishna. Prabhupada kind of drives the point home, because, you know, Prabhupada's pranam mantra, which I'm not sure who actually made it, because I think it was made when Prabhupada was in America. Because in the beginning, the devotees would just say the first mantra, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. You know this mantra? Yeah, so that this is the first they would only say. And then later, the devotees came up with this, Namaste Sarasvata Deva, Gauravani Pracharine, who is preaching the Gauravani, the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Vani of Gauranga. Anga means limbs, and Gaura means gold. Like sometimes Radharani is called Hema Gopi, the golden gopi. So her color is Gaura, gold. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna combined. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. He's non-different from Radha Krishna. He is in the mood. It's explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And there Krishna, I forget which book or which chapter, I can look it up later. And then Krishna, you get kind of the insight of Krishna's thinking. The Krishnadas Kaviraj, he's saying Krishna thought, and then you get his inner thinking why he should come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a very interesting passage. So Krishna was thinking, like, you know, I also want to experience Radharani's ecstasy, you know, the ecstasy of my devotees, and I should, you know, also inspire my devotees to get in higher ecstasy. So I will come down as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's all explained how Krishna is thinking. It's very interesting. And while he's thinking, this I thought was even more interesting, he's quoting his own verses. He's quoting Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, and it's very interesting how Krishna thinks. Like in Bhagavad Gita, we're reading now Bhagavad Gita, Krishna sometimes says, yeah, this is also said by the sages. So even though he's God, and he, I don't want to say invented, but he kind of wrote all the Vedas, it's all coming from him. Even Krishna, he kind of plays like a human being, and he says, yeah, the sages also say this, what I'm saying, Arjuna. So it's very, Krishna is very humble like that, you know. He's a very, we were just taking prasadam the other day, and somebody was saying the word cheeky. So Krishna also, he can be a little bit cheeky. And I think today also, he's a little bit cheeky. That is what I feel. It's not just serious, little bit serious. But I mean, it's in one sense it's very serious, but I feel, especially the end, sattvam sattvavatam aham. It's a little bit of a, I don't want to say bluff, because Prabhupada says that even if you give Krishna billions of girlfriends, still it's not enough. So Krishna can have unlimited girlfriends, and similarly he has unlimited strength. Still, I feel Krishna is a little bit kind of like, you know, sattvam sattvavatam aham. And Prabhupada kind of gets into that mood at the end, but with Prabhupada, it's a little bit, there's a little bit philosophical, because that was what I was explaining. Namaste Saraswati Deva, Gauravani Pracharine. So he's preaching the Gauravani, and Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Pashyata Deshatarine. He's delivering the Western countries, Pashyata Deshatarine, and Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. So Shunyavadi, that means like Shunya, there is nothing. This is generally associated with the Buddhist philosophy. And Nirvishesha means nirguna, no qualities. This is the Mayavad philosophy that Krishna, he is like us. And that ultimately we don't really have any qualities. They believe that we have a soul, but they don't really believe that we have qualities. Spiritual qualities. It's all going to be one. Nirvishesha. And Shunyavadi means nothing. This is what the Buddhist thing is. Just all big nothing at the end, you know. So both of them are very destructive philosophies, actually. Of course, we have to understand the history of this. There's a history. And it's very important, actually, to understand these things. Because sometimes people, they accuse us. Yeah, you're just like the Christians. How do I know Hare Krishna is right? You're just like you're also like the Muslims. You're saying you're the best, and we do say it, or at least we say Krishna is the best. Like here, Krishna is saying, "I am the strength of the strong," and Prabhupada explaining in the purport, because I'm getting to that. But he's explaining that nobody can surpass Krishna. Prabhupada, he's the devotee. You see, so Krishna actually he's still humble. If you read it. But Prabhupada is the devotee. He even glorifies Krishna more. He drives it down. No, there's no one better than Krishna. So, So we say that Krishna is the best. I remember when I was a devotee. When I was becoming a devotee, must have been like 13. I got my first book, and I saw Krishna, this picture, and I was immediately convinced. A blue coward boy, he has so many girlfriends, and he has fun the whole day. And his body is spiritual, it's transcendental body, so he can just keep going like forever. I thought, who can make this better? Who can think of something better than this? And Prabhupada is saying like that. There's one lecture where Prabhupada says, if you know anybody that is better than Krishna, please tell us so we can worship him or her. So, but Prabhupada says, until that time, we will just simply worship Krishna. Like we're not really vegetarians. Prabhupada uses this word, we're prasadarians. Prabhupada makes up this word. We like prasadam. And Prabhupada, he sometimes mentions in extreme discussions, he says, if Krishna wants us to eat meat, we'll eat meat. You see? Because the devotee is just simply serving Krishna. But Krishna doesn't like meat. He's a coward boy. He likes, you know, milk sweets and ghee and sabji and chapati and yogurt. Krishna likes yogurt very much, yes. So, So Krishna doesn't like us to to kill. So now I'm at the point where Satchinanda Swami said, oh, this is very embarrassing for a lecture. Now I lost the point. Maharaj would say one time like that. So what was I saying? Oh yeah, I was telling about that I was convinced that Krishna was, there was nothing better than Krishna, you know? And that Prabhupada also would say that, and that I don't know how I come to there, but that we just follow Krishna. Yeah, he said, we just worship Krishna, and we do what Krishna wants. We take the Krishna prasadam, and like that, if Krishna wants us to eat meat, like with Arjuna, you know, Krishna says you have to fight. And Arjuna really didn't want to do it because he's a devotee. He was thinking, you know, Duryodhana, he's like my brother. We grew up together. Okay, maybe he's not such a nice guy, but I'd rather become a beggar than just kill him. It's not good. But Krishna is saying, yeah, it's not good. You know, there's a higher principle here. We have to put your brother on the throne. We have to make sure that the government is properly, you know. You can think, oh, it's not good, I kill my brother and I will not enjoy, but you have to see the bigger picture here, you know. There's so many demons and they're all siding with Duryodhana and they just need to be killed. They don't want to listen. We asked them for a small piece of land for your brother, for the brothers actually, because they're all kings or princes. But they didn't give. So they did everything, all the diplomacy, everything. I mean, it's too long to explain, but really, because sometimes but the people say, why they're fighting, you know. But there was no other way. So let me see if I can get back now to my point. So Krishna is very, very attractive. That's what we were saying, right? I saw him at my first book, and I was convinced that Krishna, there's no one better. And then, how did I get there? I'm a little bit spaced out. I'm sorry. Right. Yeah. No, I know that, but I forgot why I was talking about this story about my youth, about Krishna, you know? Anyway, it doesn't matter. I can listen to the tape. So, anyway, the point is that Krishna is a person. He actually exists. And oh yeah, we're talking about this Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Now I remember, and that there is a history. There's a history in the world, and sometimes people accuse us that why you think Krishna is better? You're just like the Muslims. They're saying Allah is better, and the Christians are saying Jesus is better, and you're saying Krishna is better. You're just like the Christians. Why do we have to believe you? And our first argument is, this is a very powerful argument, is Krishna. Like you have so many Muslims, and they're quite fanatical, I'm sorry to say. It's not bad, it's good, they're convinced, you know, that is a good thing. Still, they can read Krishna book. It's a very nice book. You know, we don't have to present it like this is God. We can. I mean, it's in every page. But the point is, read about this person. He's a very nice person. It's a wonder. You watch so many movies, you know, because I know many Muslims, and they're not very strict, to be honest. I'm from Amsterdam, so I always joke with them, you know. I said, where's your tasbih? And I go like this. This is my tasbih. You know, where is your tasbih means like, I think it's called jalebi. Jalebi. So this is, I said, where is your jalebi? Why are you not wearing this? Yeah, well, you know, only wear to the mosque or they don't wear it at all. I said, where's your tasbih? You know, I always have my beads with me. They're now behind. So where's your tasbih? Tasbih means beads. I said, why are you not having them? You know, when I was young, I always saw these old men in front of my house and they're always chanting. Why are you not chanting? So they get a little bit embarrassed, you know. And then sometimes I get even philosophical. I go like, you know, why, you know, you chant all these 99 names? It's not practical, you know. How do you know all the 99 names? And I admit, no, I know 10 or 20. Some do know, but many don't know. I said, why don't you just chant Allahu Akbar? Why make it so difficult? Just chant Allahu Akbar. One beat, Allahu Akbar. And then go to the next. I said, I chant 16 rounds. How many rounds do you chant? Like that. You know, but we can tell them about Krishna. You know, Blue Boy lifts a whole hill to protect his family and his friends. Like that, we can talk about Krishna. And that nobody has. The Christians don't have. So that's the first argument. That we're better because we have Krishna. Krishna is wonderful. Like sometimes I meditate on Shishi Radha Gopinath, and we're a little bit familiar, you know. We don't know anybody else but Shishi Radha Gopinath. Still, I have been to some like so-called Hindu temples, and they have Shiva and Brahma, and it's not the same. I mean, we are sometimes dancing here and really, we're really putting so much devotion to Radha Gopinath. And like I said in the beginning, still it's not enough. Gopinath, he's just standing there and he's like, okay. He really takes it like, no problem, you know. I can have more worship. No, but with Shiva and Brahma, it is there is a limit kind of, you know. It's different. Shiva's meditating. He's actually meditating on Shishi Radha Gopinath. You know, Brahma, he's very scholar, you know, he's also actually meditating on Krishna, Govindam, Adi Purusham, this is Lord Brahma speaking. So it's not the same. So, you know, Krishna, he's like that. He can take any kind of worship. He's very, very wonderful. So now back to my story, and then I come to the purport back. So this Krishna, that is our first argument, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, that Krishna is very, very wonderful, and he can take your worship. He can take anybody's worship, unlimited. Whole world can come to Shishi Radha Gopinath and pay their obeisances. There is no bar, there is no stoppage. We'll just make bigger parking lots, you know. It's no problem. We'll just cook more prasadam, you know. There is no limit. So there is a history in this, because we have to understand that it is now, it's Kali Yuga. It started 5,000 years ago, and it's like now we're going into the winter. Now it's autumn and it's winter. So similarly, this is one cycle, and similarly you have big cycles. Like Kali Yuga is also like spiritually, it's like the winter, and before Kali Yuga you had like autumn. This is called Dwapara Yuga. It's a little complicated, because actually it should be Treta Yuga, because Treta means three. Since Krishna came, they switched it. It's a kind of a complicated story. It's especially this Kali Yuga, they switched Dwapara and Treta Yuga, because it was better for Krishna, you know. Anyway, it's very intricate. But the point is that there's four yugas, and it's winter, and then, you know, well, let's say summer, autumn, winter, and then spring. So summer is like Satya Yuga, you know, you could say like that. Maybe it's not the best comparison, but the point is that there is four seasons, and similarly there is four yugas. And now we're in Kali Yuga, and in Kali Yuga everything is topsy-turvy. So the good guys, they are down, they are like poor, and nobody respects them. And the bad guys, they are in the government, and everybody respects them, and it's like that. Everything is like completely confused. So, of course, this movement is supposed to turn the whole thing around. And that is why we need to basically train Brahmanas, or even better, Vaishnavas. So the history started 5,000 years ago. Well, let's start from Bhagavad Gita. So then after Bhagavad Gita, gradually it declined again, you know, the philosophy. Because that's what Krishna says to Arjuna, that I'm speaking this Bhagavad Gita because Yoga nashtaha, the yoga, the knowledge, it was nashta, it was scattered, it was destroyed. So after Krishna left, again it became destroyed. You can read it in Srimad Bhagavatam. There's all these bad omens, jackals howling, and you know, so many bad omens after Krishna left. So yeah, I don't know exactly the timeline, but first Lord Buddha appeared. He is also a incarnation of Lord Krishna. And Lord Buddha, because everything was already confused, and people were taking the scriptures, and there are some passages in the scriptures where meat eating is not really so much meat eating, but sacrificing of animals is described. And it's kind of a difficult subject matter, because for us it's kind of difficult to understand, because it sounds a little bit like magic. They would take these animals and they would put them into the fire,
And then they would chant mantras, and then the animal would come out on the other side being younger animal. So it was to test the fire and to test the mantra. And very rarely they would actually die. So, because it was a test, and usually if you do the test properly, then it's good, you know. But sometimes that's why it's a test. Sometimes it fails. So so that people misused that. They said, "Oh, it's here in the Vedas." Even this Chand Kasi, he was saying like that. He also knew about it. In the discussion between Nimai Pandit and Chand Kasi, he also mentions that. Yeah, in your scripture, it says that you can eat meat, or you know, and it's Tamarpu explains it very, very nicely. So if you want to get into it, you can read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because now we don't have time to get into that. So Lord Buddha, he came to, and people were basically atheistic. I mean, this whole idea of the material world is that people want to fulfill their kind of illicit desires. They want to be separate from Krishna. Krishna is the, as they say in America, the main man. And he has all the girls, and we also want it. Or maybe the girl wants another man, or two boyfriends, or three boyfriends, like that. So usually it's something like that. It can be many things. But the point is that in the material world, the main kind of, Prabhupada calls it the shackle that keeps us here, is sex life. Because if you give up sex life, like, you know, brahmachari, then it's recommended that you try and do it your whole life. And Prabhupada says, then immediately like 50% more chance. Everything becomes more easy. It's not so much entanglement, you know. It's more simple. Of course, it's not a guarantee. You know, some grihasthas might be much, much more advanced. But still, it's recommended. It's recommended. In general, sometimes, I mean, it's up to the guru. Sometimes the guru can see that, no, he's not going to make it. It's better actually gets married. So, but in general, it's recommended that not to get married. So anyway, Lord Buddha, he came to stop the people from eating the meat. This was actually what was going on. And the people were already atheistic, and they just wanted to do what they wanted to do. That's what I was trying to explain. So that is, you know, illicit sex, eating meat, we're here discussing gambling, and, you know, intoxication. So, and people were just, if you want to do these things, like, we have this evolution theory, and they admitted when they preached this theory that, yeah, actually we did it to get girls. They admitted, some of them admitted, because they constructed this atheistic theory. It was like the people like Huxley, they were called the evolutionists, and there was like a, basically a man's club, and they made up this whole philosophy. I mean, they believed in it, but it also, it kind of indirectly, it served a purpose. Because it gave them an excuse to have relationships with more than one woman. Because in those days, everybody was Christian. There was no atheists. So there was a whole fight going on, you know. There was also a court case in America with the Darwinists and the Christians. And the Christians lost that court case. So we should do that court case again with the Bhagavatam and win it, because it's all nonsense. We're not coming from the apes. Prabhupada says, maybe Darwin came from the apes. But we didn't. Anyway, so yeah, they admitted, actually. We made up this theory to get girls. They admitted. I've heard it in a lecture. I haven't actually checked it, but it sounded to me pretty that it definitely happened. So so this kind of mood was there when Lord Buddha came, that people just wanted to enjoy, and they were basically atheistic. So what did Buddha do? He didn't touch that kind of subject matter, this, you know, you have to surrender to God. He kind of left it, because there was no hope. He just went, and he just was the Buddha. We all know Buddha, at least we know that he is like very saintly and meditating. And so people really got attracted to that. And then, actually, he's Krishna, is described in Bhagavatam. And then he was just preaching, don't eat meat, don't have sex, don't gamble, don't use intoxication, and just be non-violent, just meditate, just be peaceful, just be detached, like that. So that was, in one sense, it was a tactic of Krishna. This is just how it goes in Kali Yuga. It's just like the winter. Things need to be kind of destroyed. It's kind of how the universe works. And so then Shankar Acharya came. He's actually Lord Shiva, and he was sent by Lord Krishna, and he actually was there to bring back the people that became Buddhistic because they threw away all the scripture. And so he was there to bring them back to the scripture. But in order to do that, again, he didn't touch this, you have to surrender to God, because that we don't really want to hear that. So he was just saying, no, it's all one. And he was making interpretation of the scriptures. So, and then there's different acharyas coming, because he did, because with the Buddhists, sometimes the soul, it's not clear. That's why it's called sunyavadi, it's just nothingness. I mean, sometimes they say there's a soul, sometimes not. And with Shankaracharya, it was very clear that there is a soul. He really established that. And then after that, I mean, there's different acharyas. I don't know the details so well. But then you have Madhvacharya. He really established that there was a soul. And then you get this whole, I forgot the names, but you get like Advaita philosophy. You know, there's only one truth. And then Dvaita, there's a soul and a super soul. And then gradually, you know, you got Ishwarapuri and then Madhavendrapuri and then Ishwarapuri and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then we get the full philosophy, Achincha Bheda Bheda Tattva. Yes, there is a soul. Yes, there's a super soul. Of course, there's also a Bhagavan. What is that? Paramatma, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan. There's a Brahman, that is actually the soul. And there is Paramatma, Atma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So, that is the full philosophy. And it's one and yet different. In quality, it's kind of the same. In quantity, we are infinitesimal small, and Krishna is unlimitedly big. So, that is the Vaishnava philosophy, but these main philosophies, Sunyavadi, Nirvishesha, this is still going on, this Buddhism and impersonalism or Shankaracharya. So in order to kind of smash that, Prabhupada says here at the end of the purport, no one can surpass him in cheating, no one can surpass him in splendor, no one can surpass him in victory, no one can surpass him in enterprise, and no one can surprise Krishna in strength. Just to drive down the point that you're not the same as Krishna. You are small and Krishna is big, Krishna is stronger than you. And that is a little bit also the mood of the verse. And that is how Prabhupada ends the verse. That, you know, you are not God and you are not, you know, all victorious. You are not the most strength, most strong Krishna is. So we'll have to stop there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.